Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Well, welcome to Good Things Radio. Just getting back from our first family vacation in a few years. It is so nice to connect with you again on episode 102. Here we are. We're moving our way through summer. We've got a really great show with Father Nathan Cromley coming up. And what I like about this particular Padre in Your Pocket segment is it's nice and long. A lot of times he'll just jump on via Voxer because he's traveling all over the globe. And so he's got to just get in a nice message when he can. But this time he's going to join us via Skype. So we'll talk to him. He is focusing all about getting in the game this time around, how to be the change we want to see in the world, witnessing the gospel by living it, by how we share it, and open our homes in the name of Christ. So he's got actually an action step that we can walk away with and not let the world tell you how to be you, but you tell the world who you are and who God is. I love that. And a lot of the messages that we're going to talk about today, we share frequently on the program, and I need these reminders, but there's something about the way Father Nathan expresses these truths that I feel like make them completely new. So he's going to join us in a little bit. We also have an exciting announcement about the Bible study that's starting soon. So we're going to give you an update on that, as well as kisses from Carolina, the vacation we just got back, and kind of reflections from a temporary beach bum. All of that, and feeling guilty, of course, that's in there. So all of that and more, if you would join me, let's jump in and say a quick prayer as we get focused, take a deep breath, and be reminded of our blessings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, God of long summer days and lightning bug nights and all the seasons that you make, we praise you. We thank you for the lavish ways that you reveal your love for us in the beauty of the earth and the beating of our heart and the miracle of every day, every breath we take. Lord, help us to be prepared to meet you anew. Help us to discover you today and live as creatures of praise. Amen.
It's Brooke's House. Ow. It's Brooke's House.
Okay, home sweet home. I'm sorting through right now as we speak the post-vacation laundry, re-entering the reality of chores and meal planning and all of that, and we really need to mow the lawn. But my heart is really full, so I'm kind of coasting on these holy fumes from the beach and just sleeping in, and it feels really good. So I don't think that I shared exactly where we were going to be going, or even maybe that we were going, but we took a family vacation. We haven't done that in a couple of years. And so Jim and I got married in a little town called Byron, Georgia, 17 years ago. And then we honeymooned for about 24 hours before he had to get back onto Fort Bragg. And we went to Savannah because that wasn't too far from the base. And it's one of my favorite places anyway. So that's where we went and decided this year, because it's sentimental and Jim has family down there, that that's where we were going to go for our vacation. We were going to head on south. And so just about 20 miles outside of Savannah is a little island. It's called Tybee Island. And I love it. Because in my opinion, it's not super duper commercialized like a Myrtle Beach. And some people love that. With all that commercialization comes stuff to do. This island is a little bit of both. Like, it does have things to do. We rented a golf cart and you can kind of cruise the island and you can go fishing and, of course, just hang at the beach all day, rent bikes. But it's also not as big. And I think it's a little bit more laid back. So that's where we chose. We liked the history of Savannah, but also the beauty of the beach and to be able to be by the water. We were going to do like a big out west trip. And I think I shared that and then decided at the last minute, that's a lot of work and a lot of driving, which I think when the time is right, we totally want to do. But this year we just wanted to chill and go to the beach. So that's what we did. And it really was just a week from heaven. It was a time where I was able to get some runs in like every day. So that was a dream come true. There's a little church. It's called St. Michael's. It's this little seaside Catholic chapel. And I was able to go to daily mass and that was heavenly. And one thing that was different for us on this family trip, though, was after some pretty intense discernment, was that we opted to bring in my mom, bring in our amazing babysitter and to have these beautiful ladies be with Carolina while we took this trip. And one of the many, many things that I love about my husband is his ability to detach himself from other people's opinions. And I am not that good. And I think women, I don't know. I think part of that too, maybe women are just more aware and self-conscious because we're people pleasers of making sure that everybody is happy around us, which of course we know is impossible. But so the point is in deciding to go as a family with just the boys on this trip, I was stepping into a territory of, oh no, what are people going to think? They're going to think I'm leaving my daughter, that we left a child behind and we're taken off. And that was so hard for me. So I think up until a few days of us, until we actually left, I was going back and forth, not even because I knew what was best for Carolina. I thought for sure that she would be totally in heaven with staying home because she's got one-on-one attention with grandma. She's got one-on-one attention with her favorite caregiver and babysitter. Her routine, a lot of extra special things and treats that she normally wouldn't have. It's just, I was worried that what would people think if we took this trip and she wasn't there? The last time that we did this was, I think, 4 years ago, and it did not go well. And when you take such a massive trip, like a multi-state trek and a week long and many different sensory experiences, it's a big deal. And you kind of take a gamble, right? So you don't know if with all the money and invested time, it could be a disaster or if it could be awesome. So it really was tough because we didn't know. And it wouldn't even have been a question if we didn't have these amazing women that were on board to come alongside and give Carolina a really amazing, what Jenny Ellis, our friend of the show, called a spa week, because I consulted with her. So anyway, we went back and forth about this for a long time. But a few days before we left, we went to like this family fun park, and it was an atmosphere where it was small enough. And I know Carolina and some of the experiences enough to know sometimes it's just going to take her a little bit to warm up. But and this meltdown was huge. It was huge. It was a really big, bad one that for me, it was confirmation. And I, in some ways, almost felt like it was the Holy Spirit saying, be at peace. This is the right decision, and be able to go and have a time of respite. And I wonder, I've got to think that when there's a caregiver component, there's always guilt attached. And that's how I feel to leave her, because you just feel like you can't hand it over to anyone else. You are the only one that can really do what needs to be done to serve and love this child, whatever the case might be, that needs you. So I think that's an element also. But at that moment, I knew this is what we're supposed to do. And it really was. And I felt confirmation day after day in the text that I received after we were gone, to the time one-on-one that I was able to have with the boys that I have not had in years. So it was a blessing. It was great. And I met God in that place. And that was my prayer. It wasn't going to be just a summer trip, but this sacred adventure in all that we do. You know, that's always the goal. We talk about that on the show a lot. And it was that. So we had an entire box of books. It was really funny. We had books for the kids. We had books for Jim and I, because there are so many books that we haven't had a chance to get to that it's like if we only had a week vacation, we could just sit and read. And that's always like the nice euphoric idea. But even still, we were still pretty busy. And we did get a chance. And as I was sitting on the beach, there was one in particular that I really felt spoke to me. And I wanted to share a bit of it with you. It's just an excerpt, but I thought, oh, you're going to love this, as I was reading it, because I read it and I read it again. The book is called Everything Belongs. So Richard Rohr is a little bit of a controversial figure. I like him a lot, but I do not share his perspective on some of his social views. And I have a good friend. He is a Catholic theology professor. And so somebody that we talk about in this, he's along the lines of a Thomas Merton. So if you know Thomas Merton, he is an expert when it comes to prayer. But some of his later works were a little bit controversial. And I guess you could kind of say that here. But when it comes to prayer, Richard Rohr, I would consider, really is an expert. And he has a book called Everything Belongs. He's a contemplative. And he shared this, and I want to share it with you. It's really cool. Just about our own moral development. and how we're all at a different place. And it really gave me some clarity. So this one is called Fear of Dragons. And he says, Lawrence Kohlberg, who wrote some excellent material on levels of moral development, charted what each level of moral development was like, describing six distinct levels. He concluded that we are incapable of understanding a stage more than one beyond our own moral development stage. A third level person can't make sense of what someone on the fifth level is saying. It's meaningless. That's what we're up against when we preach the gospel. Jesus, in Kohlberg's schema, is a sixth level person. Many people have not done their first, second, and third level work of moral development. They're really not bad will. They just can't understand a higher, more complex moral understanding. I've had to accept this from some who attack preaching and teaching. They're not necessarily ill-willed. They just have no idea where the gospel is coming from. They have some growing to do yet. Jesus meant what he said. Forgive them. They know not what they do. The vast majority of people, according to Kohlberg, remain on the first levels of moral development. The gospel of Jesus will always be a minority position. If we're not willing to be led through our fears and anxieties, we will never see or grow. We must always move from one level to a level we don't completely understand yet. Every step up the ladder of moral development is taken in semi-darkness by the light of faith. He goes on to talk about anxiety. He uses a really neat analogy about medieval maps, and that there was this place on the map that was always marked with a warning that said, here be dragons, and how we have to approach and confront these dragons, go out of our comfort zone, and to allow God to guide us through the dark stages, because that's when we grow. So I thought it was really good. And what are you reading? I would love to know your favorite things and any new selections. Send us an email. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. And speaking of books, kind of like a living book, our walking wealth of wisdom, Father Nathan Cromley, joining us today on the program.
Padre.
Well, this is cause for celebration, because usually with Padre in Your Pocket, we have Father Nathan dropping in like a superhero, saving the day with some profound words, and then gone like the wind. But today, back joining us for a little bit more time and some follow-up questions is Father Nathan on the show with us today. Welcome, Father Nathan.
Oh my gosh, it's such a joy to be with you. No problem.
How are you? I know you've been to Hawaii and you're going backpacking. You've got all this stuff all the time. How are you doing?
Well, you know, it's a joy to labor for the Lord. And the mothers and the fathers at home, they do just as much as we priests. We just get to get on airplanes more often.
And you do. I mean, it's amazing to me. And I want to talk a little bit about that. I know, want to keep it positive, but I've had so much going on. It's the summertime that deals with where we are in the church right now. You hear church attendance drops off in the summer. We've been going to weddings. And I wanted to ask you about that, because the last time I think we got together was the Arise Retreat. Actually saw each other, and Linda Isaiah was there. So Linda is a pastor. You know Linda. She's familiar with the show and has been so open and respectful of my faith tradition. And so for years, she has said, would you come to my church just one time? And so we went, and it's a beautiful church, highly regarded in the community. But what she said is that church attendance is not only dropping off, but they're seeing fewer incoming parishioners. And I know that is not just an issue in the non-denominational or Protestant traditions, but Catholic as well. We see it all the time. In summer, people stop going to church as much. And then throughout, I mean, millennials are dropping off. So I hate to start on a negative note, but I think we can change it. And I wanted to ask you, because that's where your heart is. Can you tell us why this is happening?
Sure. it's happening for many different reasons. It's the culture around us that is no longer opening itself up to allowing people to do religion as something natural. Religion is becoming more and more something that you have to choose. And so we can bemoan that fact, but I'd rather spin it in a positive way Brooke, because that's, I think, what we have to do. If we sit around and just say to ourselves, oh my goodness, there's no one coming to church anymore, it's like crying over spilt milk, right? So it's much better for us to say, hey, you know what this means? This means two things. Number one, I have to evangelize. I hope that all of your listeners, if they don't remember anything else from this padre in their pocket is telling them that evangelization is the task and the nobility of every one of us who are Christians today. And the second thing is that the people who are coming to the church, they will be drawn there because of the positive invitation that the church presents to them. The darker the light around us, the brighter the light within us. And so we can say, well, the attendance is dropping, but that's actually an invitation for us to be more bold about how wonderful it is to belong to church and to really make our churches those welcoming, loving communities that they're supposed to be.
And I mean, that's a personal invitation right there. We're talking about personal accountability to be disciples, one-on-one as well as in the masses, because I think, and there's a really popular book, it's called Forming Intentional Disciples, that talks about this. It's not up to our neighbor or the really, really passionate lady that's always at church. It's up to us individually.
Yes, that's it. And that's, I think, the good news that we have kind of missed for years. And there, I really think, is an opportunity for sanctification and for a deeper joy and appreciation in our own faith. If everyone listening to this podcast were stop reading the news about the church's lack of attendance and start writing the news about how they brought people to the church, my gosh, it's not only that the numbers would go up, it's that you yourselves listening would find the zest and the savor of being a Christian again. I can tell you, because that's what I'm doing. My ministry with Eagle Eye Ministries and the St. John Institute, I'm on the highways and the byways. I'm out there inviting people to get to know Jesus Christ, and it has deepened my conviction and my fervor for him more than anything else. And I think it'll be the same for us. So I actually, Brooke, I look at the situation today and I say, you know, this is a time to build. This is an opportunity to evangelize. It's not up for us to tell Jesus how he's going to win the game. It's up for us to be on the field playing the ball.
I love it. And your life speaks to that and inspires others. And it's like that Franciscan story of St. Francis, go rebuild my church, that God said to Francis. And that's for all of us through the ages. And that's an important reminder. And it's kind of the same thing then, because Jim and I, my husband just celebrated our 17th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. And we were just reminiscing about how fast the years have gone. But then I was talking to Jim and saying, boy, we haven't gone to a lot of weddings lately. And then as we looked at his side of the family, my side of the family, we thought, it's because actually people aren't getting, like, they're living together, but they're not getting married. And it made my heart sink, because I thought, and when people are getting married, a lot of times it's a non-traditional kind of ceremonies. And again, we don't want to park on the negative, but how can we have this great reversal where people crave the church and they crave the sacrament of marriage? Do you have any practical takeaways?
Yes. Start a podcast and tell everybody all about it.
I love it.
Yeah. You know, that's, I think that in the, you, the listeners on this podcast, you are living in marriages, many of you, I would even say 95% of you, that are sources of joy. And if you would do maybe just a few moments to say, when was the last time our family shared that joy with another family that needed it? Because when you got married, you realized, okay, you know, I think when we witness to marriage by living it and sharing it, when you share something, it becomes a part of you. And if your marriages would share with others how great family life can be, it would be better. So I think one of the reasons why people aren't getting married is that our young people say, I don't need to be. I've been told by the generation ahead of us that marriage is about love. I love you. Do you love me? Yes. Well, then let's just do some sort of ceremony, because what it's really all about is our love. And that's a direct reflection on the fact that the generation before us did a terrible job, and they watered down the faith. They didn't talk about the sacramentality. They didn't talk about God. They made it all about human love. And so that's what you get. So now people are like, well, if I don't need God, I'm going to leave. And in the face of that, what can we do? Well, remember, the darker the light, outside of us, the brighter the light within us. I encourage everybody to think right now, when was the last time our home welcomed in another family in the name of Christ and just shared a good time together? So that's something you can do before the month is out. You should invite a family over for board games or for storytelling or for listening to Garrison Keillor episodes on the radio. I don't know what you're going to do together. But that would
what era are we living in? But I love it. No, I think that's great. It's yes, it's just about the unique way that you express joy and love and welcoming kickball. Somebody else into that.
Kickball with dads. Have the dads play yeah. kickball with the kids. It would be all of a sudden if people would say, "We want in. What do you have?" And that's when you can say, "We have a marriage that was made in God and nothing can ever separate us, not even ourselves."
Well, you know, it's interesting because in my talks, I talk about the word haste. In Old Saxon English, the word haste actually means to do violence. And I look at how busy we are. And, you know, when we're so busy and we're always in haste, it does violence to our relationships, our prayer life. And in some ways, I feel like people are so busy, they're thinking, I don't have time to invite another family over. How would we do that? We've got all these things going on. But I think it has to be a priority, something so little.
Brooke, yeah, I feel like being challenging a little bit and saying, well, you know what, honey, if you don't want your next 10 years to be like your last 10 years, then something's got to change. And we're going to be busy till the day we die. I asked God, I made a formal petition. I said, God, all of my spiritual daughters are on me to give me one more hour in the day. And they said if they had 25 hours, they would dedicate it to their families and to themselves and to you. And he just laughed and he sent a memo back and I got it in the mail yesterday. So I can open this for you right now. I'm opening it. Here it is. It says, tell my daughters that if they don't know what to do with 24, a 25th won't help them. So, in other words, we've got to make a change here.
That message was right on time.
Yeah.
It's true.
Family needs a different rhythm. Don't let the world tell you how to be mom. You tell the world what a mom is. And a mom is someone who plays games and colors and talks and laughs and has guests over and brings the children into that life. I'm going right back at you again here, Brooke. Who is it that's leading your homes? And don't just point and say, oh, my husband should be and he's not. Okay, so if he's not, then it's up to you. But the two of you need to be leading that home, because if you're leading the home, then you're making decisions to say, this is the way we live. And we stop pointing fingers at everybody else and saying the priests aren't preaching and the TV is bad and MTV is, well, you know, like we can become proactive here. And that's my great invitation. Use this difficult moment in history as an opportunity for you to shine. And share your family life with other families, because if you do, you'll find your family life for yourself.
I love that idea, because I think sometimes all we need is the words you just said to flip a switch. And then it's like, oh, I mean, something clicks and you get it. It's like, I can live a deeper, richer, better, fuller way. And it's like falling in love. I can remember when it happened to us and our family, and everything changed. And you never want to look back. And all you need is I guess, someone to just, it's like any wake-up call, whether it's about our food or the things that we're watching or doing. We just need that one thing to remind us of who we are and what we're called to be. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
And one last takeaway as we wrap up, I know you have a full day, is I wanted to end on a high note because it is summer and we are outside a lot more. It's interesting. I was driving by, it was actually right by Walsh University the other day, and there's a nursing home nearby, and there was a woman in a wheelchair being pushed, and it was like every cell in her body was absorbing the fresh air and the sunshine, and I could just see her in this profound act of savoring being outside. And it really struck me because I thought, oh my goodness, I just go outside with my kids or go for a run. And I try to be aware of every speck of glory in creation. But obviously, you kind of get dulled to that. And I think for a lot of people, in, you know, it's kind of a muscle that you have to build. And for those that might not be aware of how to quicken their senses or with their kids, how can we soak up the sunshine and see God in creation? This is what you do. You go on backpacking adventures, and how do you do it and bring that to others so that we can start?
You know, I'll give you a very practical, because I know with your listeners love practical things. So I'd love to give you like a wonderful Father Nathan answer, but I'll give you a different Father Nathan answer. Very practical. Start with breathing. And I really mean that. When I'm outside, if I want to enjoy it, the very first thing I do is I close my eyes and I breathe one deep breath in through my nose and out through my mouth. When you start with the breathing, it changes your whole perspective and it changes your heart rate. And then what I do from there is when I open my eyes again, I simply take in what's there as if it was other than me. Almost like a child who allows, we look at trees and we're like, it's just a tree. Trees are amazing things. They weigh 4,000 pounds. And as I tell the kids, okay, look around. Where did that come from? And then they say, well, it came from the ground. And you're like, look at the ground. Do you see 4,000 pounds of soil that's missing? And they're like, well, no. I'm like, well, if it came from the ground, then all of that wood would have been absorbed from the soil. Well, where did it come from? And then they're like, oh my gosh, we don't know. And I'm like, exactly. That comes from the air. Wood comes from the carbon that is photosynthesized, carbon dioxide. It releases the carbon dioxide, it keeps the carbon, and that carbon ends up becoming the wood. Now, of course, some of it comes from the soil, the minerals, etc., but that's an amazing thing. So if I open my eyes and I just look at things as wonderful, I can actually let nature become my solidity. So many of us are running around with anxiety and worry, and we're just like, our blood pressure's up and our heart beats up, and we're thinking about the dishes and the curling iron and the kids and then the husband. And I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. And if you were just to allow nature's constancy to be your stability, it will be really, it's a wonderful aid. And to this end, another little practical thing that your listeners could do, you need to have something natural where you do the dishes, and something natural by your computer. You need to invest in plants. And I just really mean this. Plants will save the world. I know you say you kill them, but you won't kill them if they're right next to your computer where you are every day. You'll actually remember. Put the care instructions in there with it. But a plant is a marvelous reminder that my world is not everything. And that there's another world outside of me, a world made by God where God is, and that world is with me by nature.
Oh, is that beautiful and perfect. There's a really awesome thing. We've talked about it during Lent, and Brennan Manning had this practice where he would breathe in and say, Abba, and then breathe out, I belong to you. And we've talked about it on the program, but I think we need those reminders. And your ministry director, Sandy Harum, had said, look, even if it's 5 minutes a day, go outside and sit on a bench, in a chair, whatever, and do, you know, basically the same thing. So it's so needed, especially this time of year where, I mean, everything speaks to the glory of God in creation that we see. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I just love being a part of your podcast, Brooke. I love your listeners, and I want them to know that I pray for you all, and I carry you all in my heart. Don't hesitate to send prayer petitions over to Brooke so that I can pray for them at the altar when I offer Mass.
Thank you, Father Nathan. And when you're here, we'll have to just fire up Garrison Keillor and do Prairie Home Companion. Can we pray for you? How can we pray, and what can we do to support you?
Well, you can go to saintjohninstitute.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, johninstitute.org. And you can become a monthly supporter for my school, even at $5 a month. That's an incredible gift. What I'm trying to do is launch young people who will make an impact in the culture and personally evangelize wherever they go. And those people will build the society of tomorrow. So if you could pray for me, you could pray for my new class. You know, Brooke, we started last year, we had 2 students. This year we have 5. So we're going for a 350% increase.
Wow.
From 2 to 7. And we're going to be recruiting another class again. So we have 5 students coming in. And so if you could please pray for them, that they be the great saints that God's calling them to be.
Amen. That we will, we do, and we'll continue to support you. St. John Institute, thank you for your time. God bless you, Father Nathan.
Thanks, Brooke. Take care.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you again to Father Nathan Cromley for those beautiful words of wisdom. Start with breathing. And who is it that is leading your home? Right on cue from Carolina. She comes down into the studio. It's Mama Mary. Wow. Is that providential or what? Yes, Mama Mary, Carolina.
Mama Mary.
Thank you to Carolina. Oh, was that a blessing? And that question, who is influencing our homes and us and our hearts? And to lead by being proactive. So many fantastic takeaways. I'm writing notes. Thank you so much, Father Nathan Cromley. Also, quick reminder as we wrap up the program, just want to tell you again, we've got the Bible study open for a limited time. We're going to close it with an invitation to you to be a part of either the daytime or the evening Bible study that's going to be led by our very own Lisa Daly. It's called Walking with Purpose. It is starting the week of July 9th. If you want more details on that, episode 101 is where we laid it out, spilled the beans, and you can also email Lisa directly. Her email is thefamilymanager@comcast.net. That's thefamilymanager@comcast.net. I will put her info in the show notes so that you can reach her. If you're interested, you still should have time to get your book and join us. She also was kind enough to start a Facebook page. Introductions are being made, so I'm excited about this. We've got that going on. And finally, happy birthday to my precious daughter. This week on June 30th, she will turn 7. And in the next episode, I may have a Brooks House with a recap of her birthday because I'm still in the process. We're supposed to be making a Barbie cake. I have a wonderful relative who said she wanted to make a Barbie. So I shouldn't say me. Sandy, my dear cousin, is going to be making a Barbie cake for Carolina. But she, I can't believe it, is going to be turning 7 years old. And so with that, we are concluding the Kisses from Carolina grant in which we were asking, hoping for any amount that will go to bless orphans, other children like Carolina from the same agency that we use to adopt Carolina. And all of those funds, the proceeds go to help orphans, to help a family be able to adopt a child from Poland. We just feel, knowing our daughter's heart, her kindness, her love, that is what she would want. And so we're doing it to honor her. It's called Kisses from Carolina. You can also get the information on the show notes there. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of the show. I feel like there's so much I didn't get to. I wanted to talk more about vacation, but then I wanted to get into Father Nathan and I shared the books, but maybe next time. We're just getting back. I just want to thank you for being a part of the show. I hope that you're having a wonderful summer. Big thank you also to my producer, Mark Cumming, from Cumming Home Studio. Thank you for his dynamic skills and quick work. If you have any production needs, please remember Mark. Again, it's cumminghomestudio.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you to our Podbean patrons who keep this show going and growing. If you would like to be a good friend of the show, you can do that also in the show notes. Just click on Be a Good Friend of Good Things Radio and join our Podbean patron program. God bless you, friends. Be the change we want to see in the world. It's a reminder that bears repeating. Peace and love, and God be with you, and be not afraid.